And Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 136. Dear refuge of my weary soul, on thee when sorrows rise, on thee when waves of trouble roll, my fainting hope relies. 136.
This evening I wish to read from three portions of God's holy word. Firstly, part of Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33, and we will commence reading at verse 12. This follows from when they'd made the golden calf in the wilderness, and the Lord had said that he would not go with them, he would send an angel instead. And this is part of the Moses' dealings and words with the Lord. So Exodus 33 and verse 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now let us turn to the book of Psalms and Psalm 25. The 25th Psalm. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. And lastly, the prophet Isaiah, and chapter 2, we'll just read the first 5 verses. Isaiah chapter 2, and the first 5 verses. The word that Isaiah the son of Amoz saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us now to come before the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we would humble ourselves before thee and beg of thee thy gracious help and mercy this evening, that we may be able to bring thy word, thy message to this people, having brought us thus far and gathered us together. Our hope, our expectation is from thee, and we seek of thee that thou hast granted us thy word graciously. We come before thee through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We plead his precious name and his precious blood as our only acceptance before thee. We thank thee for that great gift that thou hast given to the Church of God, to be the head over all, and to be its fullness, and to be its Redeemer, its Saviour, the firstborn amongst many brethren, our forerunner, and he that has gone before us. O Lord, we do thank thee for that blessed, sacred provision that thou hast made and known unto us, especially clear in these gospel days. We do seek that thou hast grant that this secret of the Lord and the blessing of the Lord might be known by each here. For we know that it must be opened up, must be revealed, must be shown unto us. O show each one that way of salvation. Show them their need of it. Bring them to pray for it. Lead them in it and cause them to walk in thy ways. O Lord, leave not any here to be drifting on unto a never-ending eternity in outer blackness and darkness, banished from thee forever. Lord, thou didst drive out our first parents from the Garden of Eden. Thou didst set forth the flaming cherubims to guard the way unto the tree of life. And we know that there is no way back and no way to life through that way. But thou hast made forth another way. And we thank thee that thou hast seen fit to place in beautiful symbols the cherubims over the ark and over the mercy seat, and with a wonderful invitation that we should come unto that mercy seat and that thou shouldst meet with us there. Lord, a place not with a flaming sword to keep away, but blessed promises to draw us nigh, and that it is placed over that which so wonderfully sets forth the angel of the new covenant, our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We do thank thee for him and seek to plead his precious name. And in the ministry and in the gospel, O do grant grace to lift him up and to extol him before sinners as the only way of salvation, the way, the truth, and the life, that no man cometh unto the Father but by him. O Lord, do be pleased to work salvation in each heart here, and form us a people for thy praise. We pray that there might be a working together for good in those things that we have passed through as a minister, and that the friends here have passed through, maybe today or up to this time throughout the week. And Lord, thou knowest their path, their way. O Lord, do show them to tell them, even this evening, that thou dost know the path and the way that they have taken. Thou hast heard their prayers, that thou hast heard their sighs and their cries. We thank thee, Lord, for answers to prayer. And O Lord, do fulfill our petitions as we cry unto thee this evening, that thou hast grant us thy word, and that graciously. Lord, we seek the blessings of the gospel of pardon and forgiveness, the washing of our sins, the sanctifying, renewing of the spirit of our minds, and the blessings of thy grace. O Lord, do help us and do strengthen us in thy ways, and do keep us tender in thy fear. Do bless this cause of truth. Bless each that gather here, those here this evening, and those that meet on thy day. Remember the Church of God here, their deacons. Do bless them each and do favour them in their souls, and do grant that their petitions might be fulfilled. Lord, for this service and for the cause of truth here, we pray for those round about this chapel, Lord, those in this town and this locality, that thou hast worked savingly in the hearts of those that know thee not, that the light of thy word might shine upon those who have never seen thy word or heard it, and that thou would be pleased to bless the witness, the ministry of the people here to this end. O Lord, we are mindful of the darkness in our land. How many have never read thy word, and many have never had it in their homes. Many do not know what it says, or are told a false version from the established church. O Lord, we do see that thou hast sent out thy light and thy truth, and that those of us here that know thy name, that we might show forth the praises of him who hath called us out of nature's darkness and into thy marvellous light. O Lord, we do seek thy blessing and mercy upon those connected with us, for we know that there are many of our families that are in open rebellion against thee, walking contrary from thy ways, absenting themselves from the means of grace, showing no desire to hear thy word at all. Have mercy upon them. O Lord, do turn them again. May there be real prodigals amongst them. But Lord, we would not replace thy saving sovereign work of grace with a mere chapel attendance. And we see then that where there are those that are in that privileged and that blessed position, a right position of attending upon the means of grace, that thou hast be pleased to bless this to them. O speak even this evening, and cause that those that are dead might hear thy voice, that they might rise from that deadness, that thou hast give them life the same as thou didst speak to Lazarus and to the widow of Nain's son. The dead, hearing thy voice, arose. O Lord, we seek for that same blessing in these gospel days, the days in which thou hast said that the dead shall hear thy voice. Thou hast said, blessed are they that take part in the first resurrection. O do grant that sinners here might be raised from spiritual deadness and into that marvellous light of the Lord. O Lord, we seek that help for each one so quickened into life. Thou hast said it shall be a path of warfare, a path of tribulation, a path in which thou wilt teach and instruct, a path in which they shall know, though down sitting and an uprising, shall know and feel their weakness and their need of thy divine help, where their faith shall be tried, where they shall need daily grace and more grace and grace to help in time of need, where they shall know those times of darkness and yet know also times of the treasures of those dark times. O Lord, do be pleased to lead safely on each here. Remember those tossed to and fro, those that are troubled by temptations at this time, those with doubts and fears. Do be pleased to come and dispel them with the light of thy word. Raise up a sword, a standard, against the adversary of souls. Deliver us out of Satan's hand, and do grant that thou mightest be extolled and glorified in the hearts of sinners. O Lord, we pray for our little denomination. Lord, do bless each church, and bless our group of churches. We thank thee for them and for the dear brethren. We thank thee, though, that we are not alone, that there are those also scattered throughout this land that are faithful to thy word, that love thy word and love thee in truth. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast a people in every nation and kindred and tongue. And we do pray for them, especially those in persecution, distress and sorrow. We seek, Lord, thy blessing upon our Queen at this time, this anniversary time for her. We thank thee for her, for her long life and reign, and that outwardly she has upheld the Christian faith, and that has been a time of stability in many ways. And, O Lord, we do beg of thee that thou hast grant her not just an outward but an inward work and thy sovereign saving grace, and that there might be seen those evidences of it in her parting from some of the ways and things that she takes part in with evident delight, so inconsistent with the faith in thee. And we see then that blessing for her husband and the royal family, and we pray thy protection and care over them, especially over these times of celebrations and public appearances. O watch over them and keep them from harm. And Lord, we pray for our government and all in authority over us. We commit unto thee the matters that are before this land. We know what we deserve. We feel our sin. We acknowledge our disobedience to thee, our rebellion against thee in many of our laws and ways. And Lord, so we do tremble when those great decisions and things are before us as a nation. O Lord, remember thy remnant, remember thy people. Be pleased to do that which is good, and that which shall be for our spiritual profit and good, and for the extension of thy kingdom, for thine honour and thy glory. Now, O Lord, do grant us thy gracious help in the ministry of thy word. Bless us, Lord, at this time. Our hope, our expectation is from thee. O Lord, grant us thy word graciously. Forgive us our every sin. Accept of our thanks for every providential and temporal blessing and every blessing of grace. In this time we can come apart from the world and come round thy word. O make it a time that thou dost bless the word tonight. Lord, why shouldst thou wait to another service time? Why wait till the Lord's day? Be pleased to bless the word tonight. We do beg of thee, dear Lord, in the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 630. What foolish worms are we, how prone to start aside, and in our troubles flee from Jesus' wounded side, to wait on self or something base, instead of trusting sovereign grace. 630.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to our second reading, Psalm 25, and reading for our text, verse 4. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. This is one of the prayers of the Scriptures of Truth. Many of the Psalms have prayers in them. You have Psalm 28, how that begins, the very first three verses, they're breathings of prayer. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. And our text is a prayer. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. And it is a prayer that is especially suited to gospel days. It's why we read our last portion in Isaiah chapter 2. We have a prophecy of these days, gospel days. Many people shall go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways. And we will walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the Lord. We would remember that the Old Testament and the New, the saints were saved in the same way. They all were saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all taught by the Holy Spirit. They are all to inquire of the Lord and to ask the Lord to teach them and instruct them in his ways. Is not one way in the old and another in the new. In the new, we have those types and shadows done away and a greater light seen and a greater outpouring of the Spirit. But in the Old Testament, we still had the gospel in the types and the shadows and the ceremonial law. We still had the Holy Spirit. We still have prayer, but in a great clearer and a greater way in the new is the outpouring of the Spirit, and that Christ has come and the gospel is sent forth and shown forth. But this prayer that we have in this psalm is very much suited still to our day, in a gospel day, and may it be a prayer that each one of us prays here. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Psalm 25 is a real encouragement to teaching and to being taught of the Lord. It's not just one verse in it, but many of the verses that show forth the same truths. We have down in verse 8, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And then in verse 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And then also in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. So we're having promises there of teaching as well as the prayer for the teaching. And we would think also of the Psalm 27, just a couple of psalms along as well, where we have the very similar prayer to our text in verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Now Psalm 25, it's really the first psalm actually that does follow the Hebrew alphabet. You notice it's got 22 verses in it, and although we lose that in our translation, if we were to have that in Hebrew, each verse would start with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 letters in the alphabet. And this follows, of course, with several of the Psalms, Psalm 33, 34, 38. They all follow this. Psalm 119, of course, over each section of 8 verses, you actually have written the Hebrew letter. So there are 22 times 8, there's 176 verses in Psalm 119. And it's not the only parts of Scripture like that. Lamentations, in each of those chapters, they begin with the letter of the Hebrew alphabet, all of them except the middle one, chapter 3. They've got 22 verses. Chapter 3's got 66. So they take three verses for each letter of the alphabet. And even though amongst the Jewish writers, they're not sure why that is so, but the feeling is that it's so that it's easier to learn and to be instructed. And of course that flows along with the very petition and what is being set forth here is to be teaching. So in the Hebrew it's done in the way of the alphabet. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. One thing that really we should hold on to this and really be encouraged is how willing the Lord is to teach sinners, to show them his ways, to instruct them. And I say this to encourage any of you that feel, because when the Lord does begin, you will feel so ignorant, so dark concerning the things of God. And believe me, it's not just at the beginning. There are times, though I've been in the ministry over 20 years, yet I come to the Word of God and I feel so dark and to be so ignorant of it and to know so little of the ways of the Lord. We will never wear out a prayer to be asked of the Lord to show us and to teach us. The mind of truth and the ways of the Lord are such that we shall only know but a little this side of the grave. And so what an encouragement it is when you think of how the Lord has actually done the Word of God, put it in such a way as in the original languages, easier to learn, and promises to learn. We think of in Psalm 32, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, or guide thee with mine eye. The Lord would give so many assurances to his people that he is so willing to instruct and to be inquired of to do this. And I would really encourage you to pray in this way. Remember, the whole promise is that thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Paul brings this in Hebrews 10, I think it is, and he goes back to in Jeremiah where it says, they shall not teach every man his neighbour, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least even unto the greatest. And he said, this is the covenant that I'll make with them in those days. I'll put their laws in their hearts. I'll write my ways in their minds and instruct and teach them. That is the gospel way of the Lord. We think of when the Lord rose from the dead, then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And that is the great blessing of the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a difference between knowing of ways and actually being shown them. The prayer is, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. We might know about something, but very different than actually being shown it. We might think about someone building a house and we might know, well, you've got to have land, you're going to have plans drawn, you're going to need foundations and you know the basic, what needs to be done. You can get a layman that can tell you that. But if you told them, well, there's the land, now you build the house, so I don't know how, you show me how. And there's a very big difference. You can know an overall, an outward description of something without knowing the very necessary part to actually walk in it and to do it yourself. And so it is with the things of God. There may be many of you here and you could give me a description of the way of salvation. You could tell how it is in the Word of God, but to explain it actually as taught in your own soul and how you have walked it might be a very, very different thing. And that is what is being asked here. It's not just asked, let me have just a schoolboy knowledge of the scriptures, of theology, but to actually be shown it so that it is actually then walked in it. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. So there is a difference, and that is what is discerned here. And I hope there are some of you here, especially those of you who have been brought up under the sound of the truth and for many years perhaps known it, that you begin to realize and know that there is a difference. I may know a lot of the things of God, being brought up in the Sunday school, but there is a difference, and there's something more that is needed, something more that is wanted. Remember reading years ago of the late Mr. Raven, who was the pastor at Shaw's Corner Chapel, and there's another chapel associated there as well. And his pastor, Mr. Hazelrigg, he noticed this young man. He'd always been brought up under the sound of truth, and he said he always loved the truth. He always loved the ways of the Lord. But he realized there was something missing. There was something that wasn't there, and his pastor realized it as well. And he was seeking it for him, and he was seeking it. And he said he knew when the Lord was pleased to grant him that and blessed him with a real personal knowledge of salvation, not just in the head, but really in the heart, and to experience it, the Spirit's work, and applying the precious blood of Christ and making those things personally known. And that is what is needed. And so if there are those of you here that feel like that, this prayer is very suitable, very good prayer. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. We could then think of the ways as it is what is described in the Hebrew as a course of life, the way of salvation, or the paths. What the original Hebrew word looks at is a well-trodden path. And when I read that, I thought of that, what is set forth in Jeremiah, to seek out the old ways, the old paths, and walk therein and continue therein. You know, Israel, they said, we would not. We're not going to walk in them. But when we speak here of paths, it is a well-trodden path. And if you and I are to get to heaven, it won't be by some new innovative and worldly ways that are so prevalent today. It will be the old paths. It'll be the well-worn, trodden paths that your fathers, your grandparents, those who have gone before, they have trodden them, and they have attained that promised rest, and they have got safely home. Don't follow the ways of this world, the religious world of today, but seek out those old paths. Better pray the prayer of this text. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. We would remember what the scripture really warns. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Don't trust in our own heart in that way, but in the Lord to direct in that way and to show us that way. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Romans and he was opening up the great truths of the sovereignty of God and how that he was going to later on bring in the Gentile or bring in the Jews, after the fullness of the Gentiles were brought in, then he was going to bring in the Jews, and he was bringing in these purposes and ways of the Lord. And he uses this expression, he says, how that the ways of the Lord are past finding out. As these things were opened to him, he saw how grand, how wonderful the plan was of how the Lord had ordered his whole salvation, and with the Jews, with the Gentiles, the gospel times, end times, past finding out. Another real reason why we need to ask the Lord to show us. We won't find them out ourselves. No man by searching can find out God. No man can find the way to the gate to life himself. Our Lord himself, he warned us that way is a narrow way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it, because that way is broad, the gate is wide that leadeth unto destruction, and many there are that go in thereat. Another reason why we need the Lord to be our guide and teacher. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. We need to be shown, we need to be taught. Well, in looking at this prayer this evening, my desire is that we might be able to pray it and with some understanding. And I want to look at in three ways. Firstly, some of the ways of the Lord that we will expect the Lord to show us. And then secondly, how we are to expect the Lord to answer our prayers. I wonder how many times we pray prayers and we have no idea how the Lord would answer. And when the Lord says that we are to pray and watch, we don't even really know what we're watching for. And so I want to look at that in the second place. But then also in the third place, what effect the answer should have upon us. Because when we read of that in Isaiah concerning gospel days, that when there was a learning of his ways, there was that desire, come and let us walk in his ways. Not just learn of them and learn about them, but they involved us. They actually are to affect us. It's a solemn thing if we're asking the Lord, show us something, but in actual fact we're saying, but Lord, if thou dost show us what we don't like, then we're going to pretend we haven't seen it at all and not going to take any notice of it. Remember, the Lord said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we don't want to be asking of the Lord to show us something when we've really got our own thoughts and thinking, well, whatever is shown is not going to change my path or my course at all. Surely we want that which follows on from here. In verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. One of the sure ways of knowing the Lord is the God of our salvation is to be taught of the Lord and to be willing and desire that the Lord should teach us. Now I want to look firstly at some of those ways that the Lord we would expect that we would be taught. And we go firstly to the first passage that we read, and really this is where David gets this petition and these languages from what Moses set forth. And in Exodus, we read there of the way of grace and the way of the presence of the Lord. Now, Moses had been told by the Lord, because they were stiff-necked people, he would only send an angel. But they mourned with those evil tidings and those well-known words of Moses, how that he desired his presence. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And the Lord had given that assurance, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then he wanted to know, whereby, how would we know his presence? And he found grace in his sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us, so shall we be separated? But the principle there was the grace of the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Those things that we shall be shown shall be that. And the children of Israel, they had to walk that out. They knew when they went into the wilderness what it was to have the Lord with them and all that that meant. They also knew the grace, the free, unmerited favour of God. So we would expect that if we ask the Lord to show us his ways, then he will show us his grace and show us also the secret of his presence. But then also we would expect that he would show us that living way. The gospel is the gospel of life. When we think of it in the gospel way, how clear our Lord set it forth. He said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. He is a living way. And that living way is to be also followed by the people of God. They are to be a living people. The Lord said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hands. And so we would expect when we ask the Lord to show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, that we will have Christ shown us as the living way, and we will be shown a way that involves our whole lives, not just a Sunday or a week evening religion, but to be able to say with the apostle to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him. And we may know that, but that is what we need shown us as well. Our Lord said, without me ye can do nothing. Ye are like the vine that needs to be united to the root. If it's severed from the root and it doesn't have that life and that sap, it dies. And that needs to be shown and revealed and taught, not just known, in the head. So we would expect that that would be so as well. Then we have later on in this very psalm, in Psalm 25, in verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Mercy and truth, those two things, we would expect also that the Lord would show us. We think of the publican in the temple, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Mercy, totally undeserved, not of works, but just of the free favour of God and the truth of God. The Lord said to those that believed in his name, if ye continue in my word, then shall ye know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, and ye shall be my disciples indeed. If the Lord shows us his ways and teaches us his paths, then we will know something of mercy and something of truth. But then also we have in Isaiah 35 a highway spoken of. And it's given a name. It's told as the highway of holiness. He told the most solemn word that without holiness no man shall see the Lord. By nature we are all unholy and all unclean. The children of Israel, when they went through the wilderness, they were given a distinction between clean and unclean, and there was to be a clear separation. And that also is something that will be shown, the holiness of the Lord. The Apostle Peter, when he writes in his epistle, is very emphatic of it. Be holy as I am holy. He sets before us that way of holiness. We would then expect, as asking the Lord in this way, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, that the Lord would show us that way of holiness, show us his holiness, show us our unholiness, and show us how it is that a sinner can be made holy and clean in the sight of God. We would expect in the answer to be shown that. We think then also of the way of peace. In the first book, first chapter in Luke, we have the ministry of John the Baptist mentioned. And one of the things that he was to do was to point to those in darkness and to show them that way of peace, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Solemn word, there is no peace, saith my soul, to the wicked. But in the Lord Jesus Christ there is. When he rose from the dead, when he appeared to the disciples in the upper room, the first thing he said to them is, peace be unto you. He assured them that it was he that was dead that had rose again, and then he again expressed that peace to them. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. The peace of the world, that passeth away, but Christ's peace is an eternal peace, a peace that is to be felt, a peace that passeth all understanding. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Paths of peace will be those that we will expect that the Lord should answer us and begin to show us these ways and paths. When we pray, do we have any expectation or any knowledge really of what we are actually asking the Lord? Do we pray and yet go away and not really think, what have we asked of the Lord? How shall the Lord answer my petitions? Am I watching with my prayers? How can there be thanksgiving for answers if we're not even mindful of what we've been asking for? Well, in praying this prayer, may we be mindful of what the ways of the Lord are. No doubt many of you do know those ways of which I've set forth to you. But how are we to expect that the Lord would then begin to answer them? I want to look at this in the second place. How does the Lord answer prayer in this? How does he show us his ways? Well, the first I would mention is this, is in his word. You might say, well, what's that different than what we already have? We mentioned that the ways of the Lord are living ways. And what we have before us here, well, the Bible itself is just paper and black ink. But as it being the word of God, it is the word of the living God, and is written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in that it is sent forth as the living word of God. And we are to expect then that when the Lord sends his word and when he applies that word, it will have a living effect upon us. We need the Lord to answer petitions like this through the application of the word to our hearts. He sent his word, he healed them. We think of the eunuch and how Philip came to him and he asked him, he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" And yet the place he is reading was full of Christ, but he couldn't see Christ there. And yet he desired Philip to come up into the chariot. And he said, "Whom?" "Yeah, whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man?" And Philip, he began at that same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. That scripture is different to that man from that time forward. The light shone into his soul from that time. He brought to testify so clearly that I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He was baptized on that profession. But through the ministry, through the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit that said to Philip, "Go, join thyself to this chariot." He brought the preacher, he brought the hearer who had been reading in that very porch. He'd given him his text too. And he preached from that text and preached it right into the heart of the eunuch. Be a wonderful thing if you come into the house of God puzzling over a text, a passage, a particular point, and the minister comes and he comes with that same point and he comes with that and he opens it out and he shows you what you couldn't see before and opens it up, and that is blessed your soul. And you can now see and you can now understand and you can believe that now. And not only that, you can see the Lord's wonderful bringing together what the preacher didn't know and what you didn't know, but the Lord did know. The Lord uses these ways and these means. Pass finding out, but in bringing to open up the Word of God, he uses providence. The things that happen to us in our lives, very often what happens prepares the way to receive the word. In John chapter 6, a long chapter, we have before that the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, and we have the disciples, they're forgetting to take bread, and the people following him to the other side of the lake, but the Lord reproving them and saying that you are following for the loaves and the fishes, just for the bread. And the conversation then leads on to that, to bread. And they say, "Our fathers, they gave us the manna in the wilderness," or "Moses gave us the manna." And our Lord immediately takes it up and says, "No, Moses gave you not that manna. My Father gives you the true manna from heaven," and follows that beautiful chapter in which the Lord so emphasizes the need of a feeding by faith upon him. Naturally speaking, it was impossible. They said, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink?" They're offended. Many walk back. And yet it was an absolute vital thing to be shown and taught them. The Lord used what had gone on before to prepare the way for that teaching, most solemn in many cases it had no effect. But the disciples, the Lord said, "Will ye also go away?" And they said, "To whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." They'd heard all these same words. They knew they were the words of eternal life. They wanted that bread from heaven. And there was that done in their lives that stopped them going away. Their need made them stay and listen, though they still, no doubt, puzzled very much over what had been taught them. Yet they had that need. "Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths." In Psalm 107, We read of many different times in the lives of the people of God. Times when because of their foolishness, because of their rebelliousness, because of their own ways, they were brought down so low. So low that none could help them at all. And then we read that they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and the Lord delivered them out of their distresses. We read, he sent his word and he healed them. Then they were glad. Then they were joyful. Then they sang his praise. And all the time you have this pattern of them being brought low to cry unto the Lord. And the Lord answered them and brought them up again. And then they were brought low again. And all the time they're having to learn their sin, their shame, their guilt. And yet as soon as they cried to the Lord, he healed them. He answered their prayer. He delivered them. He lifted them up again. At the end of that psalm, you read, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Observing the Lord's dealings, how he is teaching, how he is instructing, in a way of real experience, going through these paths, preparing them to receive the word of God. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. What is this preparing the people of God for? Is it not to be with the Lord? And has not the Lord said here below that he is the good shepherd, and when he sets forth his sheep, he goeth before them? Does not the Apostle Paul say that we are to run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus? When we read this prayer, we have this prayer, show me thy ways. In one sense, we're asking, Lord, show me the path that thou hast trod. Show me the ways that thou hast walked. If I am to be a sheep to follow thee, show me thy way. If I am running the races set before me, looking unto Jesus, show me thy way. And it is in this way as well that it is brought to be fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings. The way of a child of God will bring them into fellowship with the Lord in his sufferings. Why did the Lord suffer? Because of his people's sin. To bear their sin, shame. One that is dead in trespasses and sins never has trouble with sin. They don't feel burdened with it. They're not a grief with it. They don't seek pardon for it. But one that is being shown the ways of the Lord and shown the way that their master, their Lord, has trod, will begin to see what our Lord suffered. When you feel the bitterness and evilness of sin, and you might think, well, I'm making no good progress in the ways of the Lord. I'm going backward because I feel more hardened and more rebellious and more of the sin in my heart and more unlike the people of God than ever I did before. And I feel to be getting worse and worse. And when you think of Ruth's language and she says, though I be not like one of thine handmaids, you say, I feel this like that amongst the people of God. And you see the evilness of sin, the bitterness of sin. And when the people of God, when you speak to them and they say, yes, but we do know that. And they say, but you would say to them, but you do not know what goes on in my heart, because there's opening up what is actually the sink of hell. You cannot excuse it. You don't want to excuse it. You hate it. It is evil. It is vile. You recoil from it. You want to be delivered from it. But you feel so helpless underneath it. And yet, in a strange way, this is the Lord showing you. This is the sin that he bore. He was spotless and pure and holy. If ye, being evil, feel these things of the sin in your own heart, what must that have been on him? If we had a black piece of paper and I put a speck of coal dust on it, you wouldn't much notice that, would you? But if I had a white piece of paper and I put coal dust on it, you'd really notice it. The Lord was spotless, no sin whatsoever, perfect, and yet was laid upon him the iniquity of us all those vile and evil sins. If Caleb was to pray to be kept from evil that it doth not grieve me, how must that evil laid upon the Lord have grieved the Lord? But every one of the people of God are to learn and to be shown the ways of the Lord, in that they are brought to grief for the sins that the Lord bore for them. And for the first time in their lives, they see and they realize what a bitter and evil thing sin is. The Lord will not have those for whom he died and put away their sin ignorant of his sufferings and what he paid for them. They are to have fellowship with him. They are to be brought nigh to him, not as strangers. Sometimes we have those of our friends on earth, but because of the differences of life experiences, we're total strangers. One cannot feel for the other one in their distress or their path because they've never experienced anything like it. Well, the Lord won't have his people to never experience anything like what he has suffered. You make them so that they do have some knowledge of his path. They are led to see what he endured in Gethsemane. They do know what it is like to have the contradiction of sinners against themselves. They do know what it is like to be rejected of men, to be hated of all men. The Lord said in his prayer in John 17, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them. And the people of God will know and realize that. And so in this way, when we pray a prayer like this, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. The Lord never has a set way of his teaching. We have in verse 12 that he shall teach in the way that he shall choose. But it will be in a way of personal experience, and very often never in a way that we actually anticipated. Did not anticipate at all. And in fact, in the first times of some of the things you are brought into, in trials, in tribulations, losses or crosses, you'll never at the start say, this is going to be the teaching of the Lord. Very often you wonder where the scene will end. But the thing is to watch. Having prayed this prayer, to watch the Lord's hand, his ways that are past finding out, and be mindful of some of those ways of the Lord that we would expect he is going to be teaching. How does the Lord teach mercy but take away all of our works and nothing to trust on but mercy alone? The Pharisee in the temple was still trusting his own works. The publican wasn't. How are we to value grace when we find our own weakness, as the Apostle Paul did, and the Lord says that my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Without his weakness, he didn't find the grace. And so we are to expect and look for answers in a way of experience that accords with the word of God, that shows us the truth of the word of God in a living, new and vital way. One of our members now in glory, who was at Cranbrook, in her experience when the Lord began with her, she said that the Bible became a new book, and the hymn book became a new book, and the things that she was brought to walk through, she saw it so differently. And certainly in my own case, I think in my unregeneracy, I hardly took any notice of anything in the Bible. I say it to my shame. And it certainly became a new book immediately that the Lord began with me in seeking and desiring to know of the word of the Lord. But I want to look then in the third place, what effect the answer to our petition should have upon us. Well, one effect should be this, that it should make us to desire to cleave to Christ. If Christ has been shown us as the way, if we have a Holy Spirit religion, the Holy Spirit will not speak of himself, but will speak of Christ and reveal Christ to us. And the whole work and whole way of salvation is to bring the Lord's people to him, unite them and make them to be found in him, not having their own righteousness which is of the law, but having that which is of faith in Christ alone. And that will be one effect. Christ, and in Hebrews we have it, unto you which believe, he is precious. And Christ will be precious where this petition is answered. But then also there will be a separation from the world. We read it really in Exodus 33. Moses said, so shall we be separated, I and my people. And it's taken up in the New Testament, come ye apart from them, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Again in Moses, taken up in Hebrews, let us go out unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. If ye friend, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the world says, away with him, crucify him. They did not want him. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world, but is from hence. On the cross there's two thieves. One, he says to the Lord, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us, come down from the cross. The other one says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom. One desired the Lord for what he could get out of in this life. The other looked for that which was above. And so there will be a separation from this world. It's one mark that is a vital mark, especially in our day. There's many churches that will even profess to hold to the 5 points of Calvinism that have no separation from the world but bring the world into the church. It's a great danger for the churches today. The true work of God, when the Lord opens the scriptures and shows us ourselves and himself, it will separate from this world, from the spirit of it, the language of it, the customs of it, the aim of it, the desires of it, and will make us as strangers and pilgrims here below who declare plainly they seek a city which is yet to come. And that will be an effect that follows the answer to such a prayer as this. Also, there will be the effect of holding fast to the truth. We read in the Word of God, there are those that are tossed to and fro upon every wind of doctrine. If we're just learning from man, we have one man come and he's very, very articulate in the truth in one way, and we listen to him, we say, that sounds all right. Another comes and he's got another view of the truth, and we listen to him as well, he might be right too, and we don't know where we are. But if the Lord teaches us, even in one point, and one beautiful example is the dear man that was born blind, And you know, he stood all the assaults of the scribes, the Pharisees, because he said, one thing I know. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And they could never take that from him. And if the Lord answers this prayer with a work in your heart and in mine, then we will not have that taken from us. That will be something we would be able to say, one thing I know. And you will hold fast to that truth. The world says, oh, there's lots of truths. You can believe this and that. There's two ways to go up to heaven. No, you say, there's one truth. And that is how it's set forth in Ephesians. The truth is in Jesus. It's in those words. It speaks in the beginning as the truth is in Jesus. I like to remember the text just without the as in front of it. The truth is in Jesus. And we'll hold fast to that. But then also it will humble us. The pride of man must always be humbled before the word of God and before the work of God. Pride is one of the greatest sins, most horrible things in the heart. And those of you who love the Lord will know what I mean. How it rises up so quick and so mars every blessing. But if the Lord answers this, he won't make us proud. There will be that in his dealings that will be so humbling. And one humbling way will be to think that the Lord answered our prayer. Why me? That the Lord should hear my cry and answer my prayer and show me these things, reveal these things to me. Manoah and his wife, when they were shown about Samson, when Manoah realized they'd seen an angel of the Lord, he said, we shall die because we've seen an angel of the Lord. But his wife said, no, would the Lord have shown us these things, told us such things as this if he meant to kill us? It's a beautiful token, a humbling token, when the Lord does show us his ways, when he teaches us of his paths. And so then that will lead to thankfulness. We referred before to Psalm 107. Did not that come out again and again? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. That surely must be the result. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. When the Lord came into Jerusalem and they sung his praises, and they said, Master, bid thy disciples hold their peace. He said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would cry out. They must praise, they must give thanks. That will be an effect of such an answer to prayer as this. And then also there will be obedience. We mentioned that in Isaiah, that we might walk in thy ways. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Truly that must encompass the ways of the Lord in the gospel day, the church of God, the ordinances of his house, the offices in the church of God, the plan of the Lord in giving deacons, pastors, elders, those that love the Lord, those that send forth the word to others also. And the Lord would have his people obedient. You know, you cannot, I don't think you can read of a single conversion in the New Testament with the Lord dealing with a person and he did not say, or it did not have the effect of them going home to their friends and telling what great things he had done for them. The woman at the well, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did, is not this the Christ? Wherever one had received that word, and they knew they had the treasure and blessing, and they knew who Christ was, and they had the love, they wanted to share that, they wanted to spread that, they wanted to tell everyone about it. Remember when the Lord first blessed my soul, and I thought for sure my brothers, my sisters, they'd all immediately understand, and I bombarded them with phone calls and letters and everything, and was quite shocked when they quite rejected me and didn't want to hear anything about it at all, and I couldn't work out how they couldn't see what I could see, and yet that desire was there. And there is that word, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will tell what God hath done for my soul. And in the church of God, everyone shall speak of his glory. We may go into the world, and we are to send forth the word of God into the world. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But when we come to the church of God, we expect then, instead of ridicule, then they will rejoice. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, and Barnabas, when he saw the grace of God, was glad. And the church of God is glad when they hear of what the Lord has done and shown the people of God. So if the Lord has shown us his ways, may there be that effect with us, a scriptural effect, and to walk in those ways lovingly and willingly, because the Lord has shown them to us and set them before us. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Funnell is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Pickett at our anniversary services on Monday. Let us close with hymn number 83. How oft have sin and Satan strove to rend my soul from thee, my God, but everlasting is thy love, and Jesus seals it with his blood. Hymn number 83.
Thank you.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all now and evermore. Amen.